Welcome to Shema, the teaching ministry of the Olive Tree Congregation in suburban Chicago. Shema is Hebrew for hear, and we hope your love for God and others will grow as you hear God's Word exposited from a Messianic Jewish perspective. Join us as our congregational leader opens the scriptures that reveal from Genesis to Revelation God's loving redemptive plan for Israel and the nations.
You're saying something about not following children on the stage, right? Want to give a hearty thank you to Rosemary, Eagle Eye Esther, Marshall, Mordecai, Governor Ahasuerus, Hangamai, Haman, and the entire cast and crew for a fantastic Purim spiel. We are forever indebted to you. And some of those images will be burned into our minds forever and ever. Traditionally, we celebrate Purim with a comic retelling of the Book of Esther to reflect the topsy-turvy nature of the way the biblical text is written. The story is filled with reversals of fortune and with many coincidences. And it results in the deliverance of the Jewish people who were in exile, well, they could have gone home, but they remained out in the diaspora under Persian rule. And it not only ended up in the deliverance of the Jewish people who were living in Persia at the time, but it also ended up with many non-Jews embracing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Esther, as we know, is unique amongst all the books of the scriptures because God's name is not mentioned anywhere in the book. There's no communication from God, whether the voice of a prophet or the quoting of scripture of some kind. There are hints of a spiritual nature. For instance, Mordecai's assertion, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. He was pretty confident in that, and I think that confidence came from understanding God's promises. As well as his question to Esther, he says, "And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" And then following his request to Esther to step up and to speak to the king, that was followed by 3 days of fasting before she actually went to see the king. And those are the hints that are most obviously spiritual in nature. But otherwise, the book is just about people and political events and things of that nature. Now, God may not be mentioned by name in Esther, but it is written to remind us that God is present with us. He was present with us in the Exodus. He was present with us when we were in Shushan. And he is present even though his face is hidden from us. You think about Deuteronomy 31:17, where God is speaking about his response to our ancestors should they walk in disobedience to him and start to worship idols. He says, "Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them." Now, when it says consumed, that's biblical shorthand for consumed off the land, and it's a reference to the exile, and that God would turn his face. And so that's the position in which the people of Israel found themselves living in Shushan. God was not present in the same way he had been present when they were walking in fellowship with him in the land. And so the book of Esther reminds us that God is faithful to keeping his covenant promises to preserve and redeem his people, even when he is hiding his face and when we find ourselves in exile, separated from him. And so how do we know that Purim is about God's faithfulness to redeem? Because that's a good question, because God is not mentioned anywhere in the story. And the purpose of the story is not given to us other than to confirm that the authoritative dates for the celebration of Purim, as they are given to us at the end of the book. And so this is what I want us to think about. I want you to think at Purim, I want you to think Pesach. At Purim, I want you to think Pesach. Because it is very helpful to think about the Passover and the pattern that Passover established and the way the book of Esther is written to reflect that very same pattern. And so here I'm going to give you a quick insight into that and some of the ways the book of Esther reflects Pesach's story. First of all, both stories are set outside the promised land, one in Egypt, the other in Persia. Both stories feature the deliverance of the entire Jewish people. In both stories, the delivering hero is providentially placed in a Gentile king's family. Right? Moses in Pharaoh's family through adoption by Pharaoh's daughter, and Esther, by marrying the king, becomes part of his family. Both heroes in each story are initially hesitant to be the deliverer. I won't take time to reflect on it, but it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture where Moses is arguing with God about his qualifications for the job God has called him to. And then, of course, we read in Esther that she is very concerned about losing her own life if she were to go to the king and break that law, being unbidden, being uninvited. Both stories often mention either the hero or Israel enjoying favor, the Hebrew word chen, or grace, the Hebrew word chesed, from the king, the officials, or Gentiles at large. What's interesting, in Pesach, God is consistently the one granting favor, but in Esther, favor is always found by the recipient. God is not present, but grace is found by that recipient. And so there are a couple of more parallels that I want to point out. In both stories, deliverance occurs in the same day of the month. Deliverance occurs on the same day of the month. And I want you to note that these are the only feasts or festivals that are celebrated at this time of the month. And so, and of course, at Pesach, it's the 14th of Nisan, which is which month of the year? It's next month. It's the first month of the Jewish calendar, right? And Esther, the Feast of Esther, is celebrated on the 14th of Adar, which is the last month of the year. And so you get this entire cycle where our year begins with the story of God's redemption, and it ends with a reminder of God's hand in redemption, even when we're dispersed, even when we're in exile. And then in both stories, the deliverance of the Jewish people results in the evangelization of Gentiles. Both stories end that way. It says this in Exodus 12:38, a mixed multitude also went up with them. That's as they left Egypt. A mixed multitude, meaning Jews and Gentiles, went out together. In Esther chapter 8, verse 17, it says, in each and every province and in each and every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree arrived, there was gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them. See that? It's amazing the connections that are there. And there are others that can be found in the text as well. So at Purim, we think Pesach because Esther was written to reflect Pesach's story. And Pesach is a story of what? It's a story of redemption, of God's faithfulness to his promises to redeem his people. And so at Purim, we think Pesach because it follows that story of redemption, and also because Esther closes the annual redemption cycle. The annual redemption cycle. And so remember, I pointed out that the annual cycle starts with Pesach and it ends with Purim, which is designed to reflect the same themes as Passover. So our entire calendar, the entire biblical calendar, the calendar around which the life of the Olive Tree congregation is based, is a calendar that reminds us of God's hand in redemption. That God sees people who are in existential crisis. He sees people who are under the threat of death. And he reaches out in his grace and his mercy and does something to redeem them and to bring them into relationship with himself and to set them in a place where they are going to rule and reign. The parallels are really amazing. People are lost and facing death. A deliverer acts to redeem the people at the risk of his or her own life. And what's so interesting, I thought about this. I thought, well, Moses didn't want to go and Esther didn't want to go, but Jesus gave himself willingly. But then I thought, whoa, the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if there's any way possible, take this cup from me. The cup of suffering that he was going to endure. But then he said, but nevertheless, your will be done. Even as Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Even as Moses finally bowed his stiff neck to God and said, okay, I'll go. And so we have this beautiful picture of redemption, and people are saved from death and they are welcomed to celebrate that redemption. Isn't that amazing? We celebrate Passover. We're going to be celebrating Passover in just a few weeks. It celebrates redemption. We're here at the end of the year to celebrate our redemption as it happened according to the book of Esther in Shushan in Persia while we were in exile. And it is all a reminder of God's ultimate plan of redemption for all those who have put their trust in Messiah Jesus. He looks at us, he looks at you, he looks at me. He sees how our sin separates us from him, how the bad choices that we make in our lives, the wrong choices, the hurtful, the unloving choices that we make in our lives, all of which are inconsistent with his will and his desire for us. Why? Because he loves us and he wants what's best for us and he knows the things that we're choosing are killing us. But instead of rejecting us and saying, Shoin Ganik, enough, he says, no, I am going to send a redeemer. And I am going to deliver you from that existential crisis. And I am going to provide for you the redemption that you need and without which you would perish. And so God fulfills that ultimately in the person of Messiah. And he sends his son to pay the penalty for our sin by dying on a Roman execution stake. And through his death, his sacrifice of his perfect life for us, we get to be forgiven. We have our sins cleansed. Amen? Isn't that amazing? But more than that, he welcomes us into a relationship with himself. One day the scriptures tell us that we are going to what? We are going to rule and reign with Messiah, even as Mordecai and Esther ruled and reigned in Persia. And not only that, we are going to celebrate with a feast and a banquet like none that has ever taken place in this world. And so we get to live our destiny year by year as we celebrate the beginning of the year with Pesach and the story of our redemption, and as we celebrate the end of the year with the Feast of Purim and the story of our redemption, all of which points us to our ultimate redemption in Messiah. Amen? Amen. So as we go out from here this morning, have fun, have a good time, be frivolous, be silly, but don't miss the message. Don't miss the message. When you think Purim, think Pesach, think redemption, because God loves you and he has sent his Redeemer for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this feast, Lord. We thank you that you are the God of redemption, that you provide, that you give redemption to your people, that you raise up redeemers for us, and that you provide everything we need to escape death. Lord, we thank you that we have the ultimate escape from death through faith in Messiah, by simply trusting in his sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray for any who are amongst us this morning who do not know the assurance of that forgiveness, of that redemption, that today would be the day they see their need and they come to you to meet that need, and that they would see that Yeshua is the Redeemer you promised so long ago, and that through faith in him, their sins will be forgiven. They have the promise of eternal life, and that they will celebrate not only today, but through all eternity, your goodness,
your faithfulness and your love and your promises. Lord, may they know that for sure today. And Father, I pray for those of us who have already had our eyes opened by you and have come to you in faith. May we rejoice and celebrate what you have done for us, and may it stir our hearts to want to joyfully share that message of redemption with the people around us. May we be salt and light so that we would see people turning to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even as the mixed multitude did leaving Egypt, even as the people of Shushan did at the end of the book of Esther. Lord, may we see multitudes of every tribe and tongue and nation come into a living relationship with you through faith in Messiah. We thank you, Lord, that this is your will. Embolden us to believe it and to follow it. In Yeshua's name, amen.
If you have been encouraged by Shema, the teaching ministry of the Olive Tree Congregation, or if you would like to learn more about Messiah Yeshua and God's love for his Jewish people and the world, please email us at shema@olive-tree.org. That's S-H-E-M-A at olive-tree.org. Olive Tree Congregation is a family-friendly community of Jews and Gentiles sharing new life in Messiah Jesus. You're welcome to join us for worship any Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 400 North Elmhurst Road in Prospect Heights, Illinois. For more information, please call us at 847-222-1230 or visit us on the web at olive-tree.org.